So, retrospectors, what historical events are we ticking off on this week's run of Today in History?
Well, Monday is the anniversary of the day Roger first published his famous thesaurus.
Then on Tuesday, we say happy birthday, Mr. Potato Head.
On Wednesday, the extraordinary stories of the child soldiers who fought in the American Civil War.
On Thursday, how King James changed the word of God.
And on Friday, what did spam emails look like in 1978?
We discuss this and more on Today in History with the retrospectors. 10 minutes every weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
This season of For F1's Sake is brought to you by Carfection. But what is Carfection? What is it? What is it? Well, Carfection on YouTube is the place to go for anyone who loves cars that are fast, expensive, luxurious, or just plain cool.
Shouldn't we be doing something here?
This is where we do something funny to undermine the advert.
This is just all Chica all the time.
Otherwise, it's like Chica's the face of the podcast.
Is that what people want?
According to the site history search, yes.
And don't forget, Carfection features the best-looking car content anywhere online.
I mean, at this point, are we still needed for the actual podcast? Because, I've got a baby to look after. I've got quite a lot of beer to drink.
You're right, Phil. You don't have to be here. But you know what? Chica needs us, and we're going to be here for her because we're a team, Phil. We're a fucking team. You change that nappy. You do that podcast.
I will.
Test drive.
Carfection.
Carfection now.
Visit youtube.com/carfection now. Welcome to For Formula One's Sake. We are okay to practice the start of this podcast here, right?
Affirm, Chica. Yeah, that's no problem at all.
I'm just going to start now.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the Valtteri Bottas fuck you of F1 podcasts.
Does that mean we're just going to do the same podcast as we did like 6 months ago?
I think it's more like you're going to come across someone who's fallen over in the street and then go up to them and be like, fuck you!
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the F1 podcast that would be bigger than all the other F1 podcasts combined, except they're trying to stop us.
Always trying to put us down, aren't they?
Yep. I mean, it's a concerted conspiracy, but we are the 6-time world champion.
Are we?
If they weren't trying to stop us, we would be.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the F1 podcast that following a recent FIA directive isn't wearing a t-shirt this week.
Feel bad that we are doing this on Zoom now.
That's Chica retching. She looks at Phil's Zoom.
Hello, I'm Chica Reyes, and on this week's episode, we'll be discussing the Russian Grand Prix, where there was a massive bee or something. But aside from that, Valtteri Bottas took a dominant victory that he absolutely deserves. And Carlos Sainz drove into a wall like some sort of idiot. He could have broken his ribs. We will be discussing that, plus the new distinctly red tinge to F1's leadership, and Terry will save F1. And probably use the C word at least once. That is all to come. Joining me is a man who has a small Hyundai. It is Phil Tromans.
Hello, everyone. I have a small Hyundai.
Did you buy it, steal it, borrow it, or rent it?
Borrowed it from Hyundai to test. It's an i10. It's parked on my drive.
How is it compared to the really small car you had last time?
Don't know. I haven't driven it yet.
Review the outside of it, for fuck's sake.
It's nice. It's nice.
Oh, fuck it.
What colour is it?
It's got two-tone paint. It's like a sort of baby blue.
It looks like my Zoom.
Should we move on to Terry?
It looks like my Zoom was frozen, but I'm just so bored.
Yeah.
And alongside him is a man who is a vegan now. It is Terry Saunders.
Really? No, I'm going full hipster. You know, I've been long-term listeners will know that I've been knocking on the door of being a proper hipster for years.
Knocking on the door?
Well, yeah.
You own the house.
Well,
you're the host. You're the hipster host.
No, come on, that's not
fair. If you're
fair.
Going full hipster, it means you're backing off a bit.
Oh, that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me, Phil.
Aww.
So the tattoo that I talked about the other week is on hold. That's happening next week.
Oh, okay.
So this time next week, for the whatever the next Grand Prix is, I should be tattooed and free of all animal products.
When you say free from animal products, do you mean just in terms of eating them?
Yes.
Or are you doing it properly? Have you got any leather shoes? Leather belt?
I've got a leather jacket and some Dr. Martens.
That's
got
to go.
No, it's a nice jacket.
That's not proper vegan. You've immediately kicked out. You lose your vegan powers.
Yeah, but if you've got it...
If I've already got it...
It's already dead.
Like all the steak in the freezer I've got to eat.
And all the sausage subscription services you've got, yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, you don't want the butchers to be out of work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's ethical.
Yeah, yeah. Any membership of a hunt. You don't want the beagles to go...
Well, it's the only place I can meet all my mates is grouse shooting.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to your new vegan podcast.
It's called Fucking Vegan.
This is exciting news. All right. I'm intrigued to see where this goes.
I don't know how long it's going to last. I've been trying it for a few weeks.
Yeah, I was about to say. A few weeks, okay.
You know, and sometimes I buy a block of cheese, sometimes I buy some chocolate. But on the whole, because what I've discovered...
Hang on a minute.
Well, I'm not officially trying
this. I'm vegan. I mean, I do buy a block of cheese occasionally.
No, I'm officially trying in November. I'm just like ramping up to it. Right.
When you say you've gone vegan, it means you've thought about the concept of going vegan.
Today, I had a vegan burrito that I made from scratch and some yogurt for pudding.
Okay, yogurt's no good.
So when I say alongside him is a man who is vegan now, apart from yogurt, the occasional block of cheese, and probably isn't vegan for another month.
Yeah. Is that a chicken leg you've got there?
No, it's just because I'm not wearing a t-shirt.
Anyway, Chica, what have you completely failed to do this week?
Well, I have completely failed to go on holiday. On Friday last week, I was going on a long-awaited trip glamping, which I was very excited about.
Didn't you do that like 3 weeks ago in Hastings?
No, that was just camping. Get it right. This was the exciting one. This was glamping in a tent with a bed in it. I was really excited. There were downsides, and in advance was the weather warning and the 55 mile an hour gale winds. But I was ready, guys. I was ready for the rain and the winds. And I packed basically every coat, every jumper I own. And then 10 minutes in the car, got an email from the campsite owner saying that the sewage pipe or whatever under the tent had broken, and there was sewage in the tent, and party was over, so I had to turn around and come back home. So that was the holiday.
Wow. But you were like, I lived in this peanut factory place that had shit everywhere. I can cope with a sewage pipe.
Listener's Corner is here, and it's got emergency bollards, so don't crash into them, you slags. So Russia was all set for Lewis Hamilton to equal Michael Schumacher's record of quite a lot of wins, but unfortunately he did a practice start in the wrong place and ruined everything. So Kevin Rhodes says, what other random rules could Mercedes screw up? Is there a pineapple on pizza regulation their hospitality could break, causing a 10-second stop/go penalty? And Simon Lee says, two surefire fail-safe techniques to stop Lewis Hamilton. One, have somebody in the paddock dressed like they're from the past. Two, throw a Netflix film crew into the garage. And Russell Trigg says, Hamilton has done 260 races and doesn't know where he can do a practice start. I call bullshit. Davian Dent says, there's a real difference in attitudes to penalties. A. Hamilton, whoa, poor me, it's someone else's fault. Ricardo, fair dinkum, mate. Better hunker down and try to drive faster, Bruce. But in Australian.
This is all a bit weird, isn't it? Because, yes, Hamilton is breaking these rules in these last two races.
Yeah, rules that we all knew about.
Yeah, they're very odd rules, aren't they? It's very odd how it's just him breaking them.
Did you know about the practice start location rules?
Yeah.
Did you? Did you though?
You can't do practice starts in Russia. That's the rule. It's a really weird rule. It's literally
a national thing.
It's geographical,
Oh, right. Okay, is that a hangover from the
Putin's
Soviet
rule.
Union?
Yeah, it was to do with nuclear brinkmanship. Mm-hmm. Stirling Moss once nearly set off a nuclear bomb. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's right. The Smolensk Grand Prix of 1956.
It is the kind of fact that if we said it with a slightly more confidence, people would have been like looking that up, going, "Oh, I don't remember the Russian Grand Prix in 1957." Where
Terry, you flatter yourself. Anything anyone would be like, "They've
it's
got
true,
a point."
He does.
But.
It was the second race in a row where Mercedes have got a stupid rule wrong and it's cost them.
Which, see, there's Mercedes are the team that don't get anything wrong ever. That's why they're so fucking good. What's different? Has Toto Wolff taken his eye off the ball? Is that what it is?
No. It's like Simon Lee says. It's Netflix. They were there. They were at Mercedes this week, apparently. And I'm assuming
longer.
That somewhere there was somebody in, like, you know, 70s clothing somewhere, maybe.
Or like Niki Lauda's ghost.
Wow. Could be. Or Vitaly Petrov's ghost.
Wow. No one knows he's dead yet.
Yeah.
But in terms of the penalties, do you think if another driver had done it, do you think they would have got the same penalties?
Well, this is the big debate, isn't it? Because it was only a couple of races ago, whenever it was, that Leclerc did something stupid, like drive an entire lap in a race without his seatbelts on, and nothing happened.
Is that against the law?
Yes, massively. Oh.
No, but we know it's against the what should happen.
Spirit of the law.
But is it actually in the rule book? Does it say in the rule
book? I'm pretty sure it says somewhere in the rule book. I don't have the rule book right in front of me, but I'm pretty confident that somewhere it says you have to wear seatbelts while racing in the Grand Prix.
Okay, fine.
I stand to be corrected.
Well, I'll correct you.
I don't bet often, but Tenor to the Dogs Trust says it's in there somewhere. Yeah, that's right. That's how confident I am. But having said that, you know, it is a rule. I don't know why Mercedes didn't know it. Apparently, it's been a rule for quite a long time, and most of the time, everyone knows there's this area where you're supposed to do practice starts. We'll do them there. Hamilton was like, oh, can I do them somewhere else? And the team should have gone, no, you can't. But they said, yeah, probably, it's fine. And he did, twice, and then got silly penalties, and that screwed his race. Well, it helped to screw his race. We'll maybe get into that in a bit more detail, but
the team,
it was one of the things that screwed his race.
The team are a bit like a dad who's got like weekend custody of his kids, and they'll do whatever the kid wants. Can I get an ice cream? Yeah, go on. Cool. It's 10 o'clock. Right?
I mean, I don't know if he got an ice cream.
He probably did. He got a 5-second penalty. I like the idea of 2 5-second penalties, but I think he should have had to have served them separately.
What, two consecutive? What, like one stop and then 5 seconds at the end or something?
Yeah, or like he has to stop the car, then he has to go a little bit and stop again. That'll teach him.
He has to stop on track.
It's just such it's just not a very sexy rule, is it? You know.
No, I mean, I presume it's there so you don't, you know, nobody comes around the corner at 200 miles an hour to find somebody doing practice starts in the middle of the track. But yeah, it's not. It doesn't make F1 look very good, does it? Really.
And are we going to discuss the points on his license? Because that happened and they took that away.
This is another. I feel like we're treading on old ground again here, because after the whole Monza pitting thing, they gave him 2 penalty points, which would have taken him to 10. And of course, after 12 in a year, you get a race ban. And he's been racking them up this year for various fairly small things. But then they took him away again. And on the face of it, I'm kind of like, okay, fine, it was a stupid thing. it doesn't seem worth getting two penalty points for. But on the other hand, he should have known the rules. Okay, the team said, yes, it's fine, but he the rules are there for everyone. You'd think massively well-paid drivers should know the rules.
No, the massively well-paid drivers shouldn't know the rules. They should just be going around the front. They should be the ones... That's why he's got a team behind him. I'd expect Grosjean
the team should just rein him in.
I think Grosjean should know the rules, but Hamilton can get away with not knowing the rules. As proved, he's still going to win the championship.
So you're saying the expectation of knowing the rules is inversely proportional to how good you are?
It's the Crooning-Dunner effect or something.
Dunning-Kruger?
Well, you would say that.
The Crooning-Dunner sounds like some sort of musical Australian toilet.
Although, but the points on the licence thing is weird, because really, that rule is for Grosjean. I think that was pretty much brought in for him. I know I like to take the piss out of him, but pretty much... It was drivers being dangerous. If you have too many incidents, you'll get a race ban. That it was about dangerous driving, not about fucking traffic infringements. They didn't plan...
You can get points on your licence in the real world for traffic infringements.
Yeah, and it's not very sexy, is it?
Nah, but then, driving, not very sexy, is it?
It's your job. You don't even get in your car. Yeah. You've got a brand new Hyundai sat out there, you've not even got in it.
While Hamilton was busy trying to rescue his weekend, the coast was clear for Valtteri Bottas to reignite his claim for the championship by taking an epic dominant victory despite the best efforts of the Russian insect population. So Ryan Simpson said, Bottas giving it to whom it may concern when he's inherited a win and is still 44 points behind Lewis in the championship is risible. Being a cocky shit when you've been comprehensively spanked all season takes some balls. What a bell end. And John Gardner says, I was far more impressed with Bottas' latest excuse than his actual performance and certainly the dull race. A B on his visor is really going to take some beating, but I'm sure if anyone can come up with something more elaborate, then it's him.
Okay, so my take on this was that he did his little speech onto the radio saying, to whom it may concern, all of my critics, fuck you! And then the next shot, when he got out of the car and he was about to be interviewed, he looked really fucking mortified. And I think in between those moments, someone told him what had happened in the race, because I don't think they told him. So I think
they told him what happened in the race, and also that he'd already done that message about 6 months
exactly,
ago.
Exactly, but I think the team hadn't told him that they let him think he overtook Hamilton, I reckon. And then so he was all like, come on, yeah, fuck. And then someone had a word in his ear and went, oh, by the way, Hamilton got a 10-second penalty. And he's like, but I just said the thing on the radio. Did you hear me? Oh, I look like a right dick now. Oh, so there was a bee.
Do you think...
There was a bee.
The bee said it. About this, though, is that his excuse for going late into the first corner was that there was a bee had smashed into his visor and he'd missed his braking point. But that was the one bit of the race where he actually looked pretty good, when it looked like he'd deliberately tried to late break Hamilton and go around the outside, and it nearly worked.
It's been his best move all year. What Mercedes should do next week is just like have a little
hive.
Yeah, just put a hive in the back of the car. When he presses the DRS button, bees come up.
the little camera that looks directly at their face that's just behind the steering wheel?
Yeah.
They should take that out and replace it with like a bee cannon.
Or, no, the straw. They got the straw that goes through the helmet. That should just be bees going directly into his mouth. Angry bees. And he'll be really thirsty, and he'll be going, oh, it's stinging, I need some water. But the more he presses it,
if they're doing
the
that, they need to put the camera back in, because I want to see that footage of just eyes going wide as his mouth fills up with bees.
What happens if your face swells up, but you're wearing a helmet? Does it all, like, come out the visor?
Well, I think, as we've discussed before, you end up looking like Max Verstappen.
Ooh.
Speaking of which, while Max Verstappen continued being the best driver not in a good car, his teammate Alex Albon was in some way off the pace. Adrian Lovell said Albon was pretty screwed from his five-place gearbox penalty and then ended up last but one behind Sainz's accident at the second corner. Not a bad drive to get back into the points on a track that is super hard to overtake at, but still, he was 1.2 seconds off Max in quali. That gap isn't sustainable. And Colin Wilkes says, Albon hasn't given the Hornet drive to survive tick of approval. Luckily, the cupboard is bare.
I mean, that's pretty optimistic on Albon, to be honest. I think that's maybe giving him a bit more credit than he deserves. Yeah, he was miles off in qualifying. and he got a 5-place grid penalty for changing his gearbox, which wasn't his fault. But he also got a 5-second penalty for not taking the right route off the track at turn 2, which was his fault.
He got a podium last week. Come on.
Yeah, but this week his teammate got second and he got 10th and a point, and that's not good enough. And it's not the first time by any. I mean, that's the norm now. That's what you expect.
There wasn't any.
He surely can't hold on to this drive much longer. And as you know, Colin says that the cupboard is bare, which I presume he's talking about Red Bull Academy drivers. But as somebody pointed out on Twitter, Tsunoda, who I wrote off a few weeks ago because I'd never heard of him, has actually won an F2 race now.
Well,
and so is presumably reasonably good. And there's also talk that, you know, they might go outside the academy and get someone like Perez or Hülkenberg or whoever.
Well, on that, we're just recording this at 9:30 on a Wednesday night, and I'm just seeing the rumours coming in that they've given the seat to a B next year.
Yeah, guaranteed podium. It's not one bee, it's like a whole swarm of bees taking human form.
Oh, there must be a good bee pun name of a Formula One driver. We'll think about that throughout the podcast.
Tacky honey.
Stinging moss. Stinging moss.
And finally, let's spare a thought for Roman Grosjean, who has been trying so hard to please. Jeff Brown says, Grosjean, told to go through the bollards. Okay?
Did you laugh when Grosjean drove straight through the bollard sign? Because I did.
It's just hapless. Nothing more Grosjean, is it?
Exactly.
Sainz does that and he hits the wall and you go, oh, fucking bad luck, mate. But Grosjean does it and it's just... whatever Grosjean's racing, it just feels a bit like an episode of It's a Knockout. For our younger listeners, that was a TV series that I can barely remember myself.
Yeah.
Good, right, in other news. F1 has a new boss. From January, the moustache is out and the not moustache is in. Chase Carey will vacate the seat of F1's chairman and CEO and make way for Stefano Domenicali. Many of you will remember him from being the Ferrari team principal between 2008 and 2014, and lately he's been the CEO of Lamborghini. So, is this going to be good for F1? And crucially, will it be good or bad for Ferrari?
I quite like Stefano Domenicali from what I remember of him.
He was always very nice, very Italian looking. And sounding, and his name is very Italian.
And actually Italian. Yeah.
Very Italian. Always seemed like a nice guy.
On the face of it, this is yet another former Ferrari bigwig appointed to a position of power in motor racing after John Todd, Ross Brawn.
Yeah, well, John Todd and Ross Brawn objectively hate Ferrari because of the mess that they left that team in. Great position. And then a few, now look at them. So they're just there going, we don't want to go anywhere near you. Ferrari is like one of those churches, like the Amish, where if you try and leave, they excommunicate you.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Domenicali resigned in 2014, presumably because he was fed up with the whole thing. And then he went on to head up Lamborghini, which historically has been one of Ferrari's very big rivals. Because, brief aside, Lamborghini started making cars when the boss of Lamborghini tried to buy a Ferrari and was fucked about by Enzo Ferrari. He was like, well, fuck you, I'm going to make my own better cars.
Oh, fucking men.
That's how the company started.
Men, yeah. It's always men, isn't it? Oh.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a separate issue of women not being in power in Italy in the 1940s, whenever it was. So on the face of it, actually, maybe it's not brilliant for Ferrari. Yeah. That some might think it is. You know, this whole Ferrari internal assistance thing that's been going on at the FIA for donkey's years. But anyway, he doesn't work for the FIA anyway. He's going to be F1.
Cool.
And the moustache is gone. No more walrus face.
He never wanted to be there anyway, so that's fine.
Well, he was just a business guy brought in to sort of shake it up a bit. And yeah. There is the argument that the fact that he was a business guy, actually, when you look at F1 since Liberty came in compared to before, there's a lot of things about it that's a lot better. And ultimately, you've got to say that Chase Carey's had a pretty good impact.
Yep.
In that regard.
I like him.
I do as well, but Domenicali is very much a racing man. Is there a danger that it'll just go back to the same old F1 bubble and they won't bother listening to anybody else and blah, 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 blah?
Oh, yeah, you put it like that, it might be a shit idea. They should get get some bloke from, like, Citibank or something.
Yeah, get one of these people who've decided they're going to move to Monaco after Brexit. Get Jim Ratcliffe in or... Barry Dyson, whatever his name is.
Barry Dyson.
What was his name?
Yeah, that's
James
it.
James Dyson.
Yeah, no, it's Barry.
James Barry Dyson. Well, we'll find out in January.
Okay, so big news for next weekend's not German Grand Prix, as there will be a Schumacher back in an F1 car. No, not Michael, because of the reasons, but his son Mick, who will be in an FP1 session with Alfa Romeo, replacing Antonio Giovinazzi. Mick is currently leading the Formula 2 championship ahead of Callum Ilott, who will also have an FP1 session with Haas in place of Roman Grosjean. It will be great practice for the pair, who will get to understand more about what it's like to be slow in a shit Ferrari-powered car.
Mm, Schumacher, Ferrari-powered car, Nürburgring.
Don't give a
excited.
Shit.
Excited?
Nope.
Okay.
Couldn't care less.
Okay. What? Why? It's so romantic.
Oh.
The memories. Schumacher.
It's only romantic Ferrari. If he. It's only going to be romantic if he parks it up and somebody gets in Alonso's way. Or
Alonso's
son. Has Alonso got a kid? Do we know this? I don't think he
has. I don't think officially he has, but you know, probably, let's be honest.
You can't say that.
Can't we?
That's the sort of thing I would say.
I mean, everyone seems to be making a very big deal out of this.
Included.
Yeah, it's nice.
You're making a big deal. I'm there saying it's nothing.
Well, it's only because I'm the news editor of this particular podcast and I was desperate for a story.
One man who won't be running in an FP1 session this year is Fernando Alonso. Renault has been trying to shoehorn the serial Indy 500 failure into a drive so that he has some idea of what he's doing before making his debut for the team next year. Alonso is too experienced to do the post-season test at Abu Dhabi, and Renault won't let him do any FP1 sessions for reasons that we haven't actually heard. So maybe he'll get to do a filming day in an old car or something. In the meantime, he's visited the factory and we'll probably see him swanning around in the paddock at the Imola Grand Prix in November.
Oh, does it matter?
So it's not the kind of incisive commentary I'm expecting from you, Terry. Just go boring, don't give a shit.
It is boring, I don't give a shit.
Okay. But Alonso's been to a factory.
Tell us how wrong we are. You can tweet us at For F1's Sake, or find us on Facebook where we're For F1's Sake, or email us wrong at ff1s.com. Alternatively, if you think we're right, you can owe us a beer, just like these folks, who include Daniel Brentnall, who says, I enjoyed listening to the Tuscan Grand Prix podcast with a pint. Have one yourselves. Don't mind if we do.
Mine's a pint.
Cheers, Daniel.
Of gravy.
Veg gravy, though. Yes.
Vegan gravy.
Oh, I mean, that just sounds like the worst thing ever.
It's here's the top tip, vegan top tip. Just put a bit of cheese in.
And Jonathan Wilson, who says, that's for fucking smashing it with the pun on the Tuscan episode title. Good luck taking the piss out of my name if you read it, because it's so generic.
That was my title in the last episode. I was pretty pleased with that one.
That was a good title.
Start Wreck, The Next Generation. Because they all crashed at the beginning. Yeah, I was very pleased with that.
And it was a lot of
thanks, Jonathan. I'm not going to take the piss out of Jonathan Wilson's name, because there's a small possibility that it was one of my friends from university who, admittedly, I haven't been in touch with since university.
I'm trying to take the piss out of your name, but every time I try and read it, it just goes out of focus because it's so fucking boring.
Keith Falconer.
That's more like it.
Yeah. Thank you, Keith.
Katazinia Gunia.
Go on, take the piss out of that name, Phil. Come on, don't break
it. We've got to first of all apologise for probably butchering it.
No, we don't have to apologise for that.
Gunia, it's like a sort of some sort of Gunia. Arsenal fan, Gunner, Gunia. Rhythm is Gunia getcha.
Cameron Cerullo.
I mean, that's a trans DJ if ever I heard one.
What's that garlic sauce you get?
Garlic sauce?
Yeah. They do it in Leon.
How can you say... He's talking about a trans DJ and he says...
garlic sauce that they do in
you're
Leon.
You're thinking of a garlic sauce.
This has gone very middle class all of a sudden. Hang on. Leon garlic.
Aioli. Aioli.
Aioli.
Aioli.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah, nothing like Cerullo.
Well, I don't know. I'm a vegan now. I can't probably have it.
Jenny and Ralph Brynard.
I got in trouble last time because I presumed it was Ralph... using
that
a
is so
joint
bad.
No, I got in trouble last time. I'm gonna make it better this time because I
know that Jenny has nicked Ralph's card.
Oh,
the
so
Brynard card.
Oh, so the women Brynard just card. Women just steal their husband's credit cards, do they? Fucking hell, Chica, get in the
90s. No, she's got her own account, but she doesn't want to spend her money on our beer. Fair enough. She's annoyed with Ralph.
So
fuck
you're saying
you,
Jenny's
Ralph.
A thief.
Yeah.
They're not even married.
I mean, that's forging.
Jason R. Bradley.
Oh.
Oh,
Jason.
Fuck
oh, okay.
Off.
There's a middle initial.
Oh, Jason. So we don't mix you up with any of the other Jason Bradleys.
Right, Bryce Davies.
Thank you, Bryce.
Bryce.
Bryce is nice.
Rhymes with Bryce. And Bryce is nice. Right. Oh, yeah, Bryce is right. We've done that
That's
before,
good.
I think.
Was there a theme tune for that?
Don't make it up.
That was strike it lucky.
Alan Digby.
Alan Digby. He donates to the Formula One podcast we like. Nobody came. Oh, I just came.
Oh, thank you, Alan. Sorry about the mess.
Mick Farr, who says, this podcast has the pace of a Williams and the wit of Franz Tost. Keep it up.
I don't get it. Is Franz Tost funny?
No.
Oh, fuck you, Mick.
Tom Boddy, who says, love the pod. Can you shout out my mate Chris on his birthday? A man with a handling smoother than an infant's behind.
We're not a fucking local DJ shit. We're not doing fucking requests for your mate's birthday, Tom Boddy. Or should I
say,
nobody.
Well, how much did he send us?
Don't care.
Because if it's a good amount, I'm happy to shout out his mate Chris on his birthday. Happy birthday, Chris.
Fuck you.
This one goes out to, Chris.
White noise.
Anthony Mumford. Woo.
Oh, fucking hell, he's back. Jesus Christ, piss off.
He says, just because he made it weird, this is for Terry to get a Strongbow Dark Fruits. I know it's served in every pub, and I know what it does to a human. Enjoy the indigestion, Terry. Hope the rest of you are doing well.
We did get a heads up on this message, and I was going to buy some Strongbow Dark Fruits. But you know what, Anthony? We've got your money. Fuck you. I'm drinking good beer.
Join these people. You can buy us a pint by going to
FFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFF
So we appreciate that these are difficult times at the moment. So if you don't have the means to buy us a beer, why not leave us a review on Apple Podcasts? Our favourite this week was this one. We all know F1 can be a little bit, for want of a better word, dull. If you want to add some excitement to Grand Prix racing, look no further than FF1S. I love Formula 1, but it can be a tad boring and currently rather predictable. But no, this person really doesn't like F1, do they?
My kind of person, yeah.
But now I watch the race and find myself wondering, ooh, I wonder what Terry will think of that move. And for God's sake, can someone please get some proper shoes? Long story short, if Liberty Media want to improve the show, they could stop messing around with safety car restarts and pay attention to Terry's State of F1 segment. Problem solved.
Every time I hear something like that from a fan, I realise that I've been right all along.
Right, enough bollocks. Let's talk about the teams. Mercedes, Bottas got hit by a bee, but he doesn't like to go on about it. But what about Hamilton and his penalties? How did he respond?
With great grace and dignity, by insinuating that it was all a conspiracy and that they were out to get him, and it was obvious. Which is not maybe his finest look.
Yeah, but I quite like it. It's a bit of a greatest hits, isn't it? You know, maybe he's queuing on.
He is not queuing on.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, those masks hurt more people than they save.
Says the man who wears a helmet and a fireproof balaclava.
He basically insinuated it was all a conspiracy theory and that they would do anything they could to stop him winning the title, which was obviously bollocks because it's written in the rules and has been for 7 years and he broke them.
But as we did say earlier, it was probably harsher rules because it was him, and so you can kind of see where he's coming from.
Application of the rules is another question, and frankly, you know, they should have penalised Leclerc a few races ago, as we talked about at the time, but this isolated incident, I don't think he's got a leg to stand on. He broke the rules, he got a penalty. Done. They should have known better, him and the team. Mostly the team, but also him to an extent. Although it wasn't the only reason that he had a shit race, because he was on a shit strategy anyway because of that palaver in Q2 with the red flag that meant he almost went out in Q2, Hamilton. And he only got onto his final flying lap with probably about a second, if that, to spare. There was a moment watching it on Saturday where I was like, oh, he's going to start 15th, which will make it interesting. But then he didn't. But, you know, still... That and the 10-second penalty basically screwed him. But he's still going to win the title. Bottas still is number two, okay, they've thrown him a bit of a bone inadvertently here. Well done.
Fuck you! To all my critics, fuck you! The best thing is, if you go on Instagram, he does actually respond to his critics.
Yes, in a sort of hilarious way.
Yeah. I might join Instagram.
Actually, I think you'll find I'm quite a good driver.
Yeah, did you see that?
I
beat Lewis Hamilton this week. Oh, mate.
Yeah, that's one to Hamilton's dozens.
Red Bull! Business as usual for Red Bull. Verstappen was on the podium and Albon fighting for the lower points position with Gasly. Happy families.
Yeah. I mean, Verstappen was really good. As he always is.
Albon, though, what happened here?
He's not that good.
Mm. As he never is.
Well, not in this car, anyway.
He's had a couple of good ones, hasn't he?
I mean, if he had a couple of moments in this race. I can't remember who it was against, but he did a really good overtake over around the outside of someone. You know, every race there's a moment where you look at Albon and go, "Oh, that was a good move," and then you realise it was a good move for 11th, and you think, "Okay, he's not doing it." He's,
what should Red Bull do?
Just run
good
one
question.
Car.
What?
Just run one car.
I reckon Verstappen. They should have Verstappen, and in the other car, Jos Verstappen.
I'd be up for it. He'd have to do a season in F2 to get a super license.
Oh, I'm sure there's a way around. Just do a practice start at the wrong place. You'll get a 10-second penalty, and that will give you a point on your license, super license.
Just learn the rules.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Like granddad.
Yeah.
No, I said that's how you could get a license, is just by learning the rules.
Oh, like a theory test.
Yeah. I wasn't having a go at you, Terry. They didn't know the rules. Why would I have a go at you?
Yeah, I'm sure that's how it works.
Okay.
No, I'm down with it. Or one of the other Verstappens. Max has got a sister. I think his mum used to be a decent carter as well.
Yeah, she did.
Let's have the Verstappen family. It could be like a little sitcom. They all live in Austria. Trying to escape the Nazis. Oh, no, no, no.
It's a period sitcom, is it? Set in the 40s. Max Verstappen and his racing family in Austria in the 40s escaping the Nazis.
Yeah. The Dutch version of Hello, Hello.
Yeah, but it's a reality show. It's like Big Brother.
Yeah.
But also The Sound of Music.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Red Bull.
Renault! Still no tattoo, but the yellow cars were pretty good again. This is the fourth time in a row Ricciardo has finished in the top six. Doesn't actually sound that good, does it? But anyway, if they carry on like this, they are looking like they could be in a position to come third in the Constructors' Champs. What?
Yeah.
Really?
They are the best of the average teams.
Oh, McLaren were doing so well at the start of the year. They've really faded away, haven't they?
They have a bit, haven't they? I mean, they're still not terrible, but Renault are doing a better job at the moment.
Fair play to them.
And Ricciardo particularly has been looking pretty good.
Was it since Belgium? Yeah.
Well, apparently they found a setup in the car that really worked, which sounds simplistic, doesn't it? You can, as us non-Formula 1 experts, go, well, that, what? You do, you just press that button, or suddenly it works. Yeah. But you
press
know,
the good button.
A car setup is a very hard thing, and they've obviously found something, and fair play to them. But yeah, I still can't get excited by them being up there. I don't know what it is. It's like I can't quite focus on them.
In theory, they should be more exciting than they are.
Yeah,
they're a team with a long history. Ricciardo's fun. Ocon was fun.
They're nice colours. I like the yellow car. Yellow and black is very strong, like a bee. Do you reckon that's what Bottas saw? He saw a Renault in his mirror and he went, "There was a bee!"
It was a big bee, though, wasn't it?
Well, there he goes, an F1 car.
The cars in the rearview mirror may appear closer than they are.
It's just Daniel Ricciardo. just on the two drivers, Ricciardo is basically making Ocon look a bit ordinary, isn't he? I mean, Ocon actually wasn't that bad this weekend, but Ricciardo is pretty much always better than him.
Yeah.
How do you think Ocon's going to get on against Alonso? Bearing in mind that Alonso's had 2 years off.
It's hard to say, because I think Alonso will start off thrashing him, but he'll get bored very quickly.
You reckon Alonso's going to be quick straight out of the boat?
Yeah, he'll have been doing like fucking one-arm press-ups or something in a montage for 6 months before. So he'll be there.
Because previously, when drivers have had some time off, they've come back and they've not been as good.
Yeah, but they're not Alonso, are they? Alonso's got that kind of small man energy of trying to prove something. Just like, you know, you look at Alonso and you think, fucking hell, mate, you're short. And he's average height for a Formula One driver, but he looks short.
Big neck, though.
Yeah.
Big neck energy.
Stroll got biffed out on the first lap by a wayward Charles Leclerc, and Perez did his thing.
Yeah, Perez, pretty good race. Fourth.
Yeah, he finished fourth.
I don't remember seeing him in the race.
Was he really
fourth? He was.
Really?
That was really good.
You're not joking?
Mm-hmm.
And not actually that far behind Hamilton.
Fuck off.
No, no. Good. I don't think they showed him the whole race. But I'll give you.
He's had ahead of a time.
I'll give you three guesses as to how he managed to do so well.
Was it his superior driving skill and a bit of derring do?
I mean, there might have been an element of that, but I doubt that was the main thing.
Did he look after his tyres?
He did look after his tyres very well. Yes.
Yeah. Come on, Sir Joe. If you're looking for a new job, and in a way, four should be impressive, but everyone goes,
Well, I mean, it was impressive because also he had the shitter car this weekend because, in theory, because they'd given the new...
Well, it wasn't shitter after the first lap.
Well, this is it, because they'd given all the new aerodynamic upgrades to Stroll because he's the golden child. But then Stroll got punted into the wall on lap one and that was the end of that. So imagine what could have happened if Stroll hadn't been pushed off. If Perez could get fourth in a crap car, Stroll could have won.
Should have.
But
didn't he?
McLaren! Sainz ran to the toilet to be sick, but instead puked all over the wall. What was he doing? And Norris did seem to have some debris damage.
So yes. I watched the actually quite fascinating... Your friend of mine, Jolyon Palmer, does a thing for the F1 YouTube channel where he analyses parts of a race. And he analysed Sainz crashing into the wall and was quite entertainingly shit about it. So,
I didn't see this. What did he say?
Mean about it, or
yeah, just a little bit, kind of like that was stupid. It was quite deprecating.
I mean, there's no way around it, is there? Really?
So, if you haven't seen it, so there's the first corner, and if you cut the corner, you're supposed to go round the bollards, Grosjean, and then you pop out onto the track. Now, Verstappen did exactly that on the first corner. He cut the corner, went round the bollards, came out behind Ricardo. Bob's your uncle. Sainz was right behind Verstappen and obviously went, oh, this looks easy, and he steered around the wall and his wheel came off as it hit the wall at full pelt.
He basically just massively underestimated how fast he was going into that little, because it was quite a little shimmy to go through that little chicane.
I mean, it's not easy, you know, I can imagine,
which is why Grosjean just went through the whole thing. But
yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, and, but you know, it's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah,
when you just literally just go, okay, I'm gonna take the escape road. Uh-oh,
I'm dead now.
Yeah. And in doing so, bits of his car went everywhere and damaged Norris's car.
And was that a safety car then? I can't even remember now.
Yes.
It was a safety car. Yes, it was, because at one point I thought the Hamilton was backing everyone up a bit too much, like last week, but it was all fine.
Yeah. But yeah, embarrassing for Sainz, and it fucked Norris's race as well. And another pretty bad weekend for McLaren. No points.
Nope. What?
Ferrari! Back to red again, then they were dead again.
Well, okay, this is a Ferrari race of two drivers, as it always is, but particularly so. Vettel, shite.
I really think they fucked his car. Like, I just don't believe he's that much shitter than Leclerc, even. So I think they're putting.
He can't be
in
that shit,
car.
Surely.
I think they're just putting bits of, like, bolognese in his exhaust and other stereotypes. What else is Italian? Scooters.
Moustaches.
Hand gestures. You're sporting a bit of a moustache, are you, right now?
Yeah, I thought I'd, you know, try something new as I'm not going out. I was like, oh, now seems a perfect time to have stupid facial hair.
Isn't it Movember coming? No, what's before
Moctober.
Movember? Cocktober.
Yeah, hence the no t-shirts.
Don't trim the pubes for a month.
Something's going on. I don't know if Vettel's just completely given up because it's just like, I'll save it all up for Aston Martin next year. But
Aston Martin people must be kind of like, fucking hell, mate, come on. We're trying to do an advert. We're going to do an ad campaign this, at the end of the year about a four-time world champion. You're not making it easy.
Yeah. Well, you know, that'll be entertaining for next year. It'll be something to talk about, won't it? Podcast material. But Leclerc somehow came home in sixth.
This race doesn't feel right. So I watched the race, and if you'd have asked me without me checking, so Bottas won, Verstappen second, Hamilton third, then I'd say a Renault in fourth, maybe another Renault in fifth, probably some McLaren sixth and seventh, even though one went out. These finishes that you're telling me don't feel right.
I'm pretty sure I've done it right.
No, I'm sure you're right, but they don't feel right. It's like they're not in the spirit of the race.
Well, Russia, isn't it?
Anyway, well done.
They had fans there as well. That didn't feel right.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I prefer it without fans.
Yeah, me too. Unless you can get all the fans, just having some fans. You think, who the fuck are these people? Why do they think they're so fucking special?
I'd rather have more cardboard cutouts. Or just computer animations.
Or just TV screens showing live feeds of me having a wank. Like, you know those big screens they've got where they're kind of like, good luck, Vettel, and there's someone doing a kind of fist pump. That, but me wanking.
Yeah, or that one where it's like, go on, Verstappen, and then he did a shoey. I was like, that's not, no, got that wrong.
AlphaTauri. So, Gasly wasn't shit, but we're not going to make a bank holiday for him. And Kvyat did okay, but he was at home, and Russians tend to cheat.
Oh, wow.
Let's wait till the Russian vaccine proves to be correct and they will give everybody the vaccine, apart from you, Chica, and you will die of coronavirus.
Wow.
And we will die of weird Russian side effect virus.
Yeah, pretty sure all of this is a hate crime, but Kvyat did all right for his home race.
They both did quite well, they're at the bottom of the points, but like we said, this race is weird, don't care. Next.
Alfa Romeo. Raikkonen has now matched most starts in F1. Raikkonen has now matched the most starts in F1, but this was one he'll want to forget. So now we're back to 321.
With Ted Rogers.
What?
Joke Who? For the old people there. Remember what? 3-2-1? It's a quiz show in the 80s. 3-2-1 with Ted Rogers. Dusty Bin.
Who's Ted Rogers?
The what? Bloke who presented 3-2-1. Oh, for fuck.
I don't remember 3-2-1. I'm the same age as you. I don't remember this at all.
I haven't made it up. Oh, shit, have I? I may have made it up. No, Dusty Bean. Anyway. 3-2-1. Because he did the thing.
I've broken my expensive chair. What's going on?
Well, for fuck's sake, 6 months. Whereas my free chair from the doctors is still going strong.
It's all right. No, it's all right. It's all right. I just flicked one of the many levers. Right. Raikkonen. I mean, the most forgettable of forgettable races. The only 40? Thing I can remember is that he had a slightly rubbish pit stop, but it wasn't that bad.
There was a bit with Latifi that was kind of fun.
What happened?
They were like next to each other.
Okay.
Great. That's good.
Yep. And Giovinazzi nearly got a point, actually. As he beat Raikkonen, 11? Which he doesn't always do. Yeah. It's not a point, but it's not terrible. So, you know. Have they confirmed him for next year? No, they haven't, have they?
No, it's going to be Mick Schumacher and Ralph Schumacher.
It's just going to fill it full of Schumachers. Hasn't Ralph Schumacher got a son in who races as well?
Yes.
His name I can't remember.
Michael. He's called him Michael.
Has he?
No, but that would be fucking weird, wouldn't it?
That would be really weird. Yeah. Or Corinna.
Or Ralph. But it's a boy. It's Ralph. Another Ralph Mouth Schumacher.
Schmouth.
Jenny and Ralph Reinhard Schumacher.
Thanks again, Jenny and Ralph, for your donation.
Hayes.
Hayes, lots of Hayes on the story cards above. Don't bollock me.
Grosjean blasted through the polystyrene bollocks like he was on Stars in Your Eyes. But tonight, Matthew, who would he be?
Who would Grosjean be on Stars in Your Eyes?
A shambles.
I reckon he would be Jimmy either. Savile. That's not how Stars in Your Eyes works,
be on
Phil.
Stars in Your Eyes.
You've got to be a singer. Do you remember Stars in Your Eyes as well? Are you really 40? Yeah. Is this all a lie? Are you actually just like two children standing on top of each other?
I remember Stars in Your Eyes.
No, I remember Stars in Your Eyes.
I think he'd be either Janis Joplin or Freddie Mercury.
I mean, that's quite
a
jump.
He wouldn't be Freddie Mercury.
I think he'd be Enrico Caruso.
Or maybe
Ricky Martin. Yeah, Grosjean was just comic. I mean, that was like Grosjean's greatest hits, quite literally, wasn't it? Kept going off at the same corner, check. Crashed through something, check. Didn't spin it into a wall under a safety car, so that's, you know.
Good on him.
Yeah, Magnussen. Well, actually, both of them had quite good starts because they qualified terribly. But then they had really good starts through all the chaos and then just sort of slightly dropped back. I mean, Grosjean dropped back more than Magnussen. Magnussen only dropped back to 12th, which is pretty good. But at one point, they were both in the points, but not for long.
Williams! Williams might be under new ownership, but they've got old problems as Latifi fucked up qualifying and Russell fucked up his tyres in the race, which meant they would have been last if it wasn't for Grosjean.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, Russell was in the bit of a ding-dong. It was Albon, Russell and Norris having a bit of a ding-dong together. And it was like, oh, it's good, the three of them. You know, they're not where you want them to be.
It's like the F2 days.
Yeah, isn't it great? And Albon shouldn't really be down here. But then Russell flat spotted his tyres and just disappeared. And it was a bit embarrassing because that's like the second time this year he's been in a big race situation and fucked it up.
He might be one of these guys that's amazing in qualifying, but can't quite keep it together properly in the race, because that's not the first time that's happened, because in qualifying he's really good. What was he, like 14th, something like that, like well into Q2 in a Williams, but then just keeps making these mistakes.
Yep.
And if it was his rookie season you could probably let him get away with it, but he's in his second season now and he can't be doing that.
Yeah,
he's got to sort that out if he's going to take Bottas's seat, which he probably will.
And exactly. And he got beaten by Latifi, who I think I remember at one point was with Kimi Raikkonen. Can't remember any more details than that.
Yeah, well, Russell obviously had to, because he screwed his tyres up in that battle, he had to take another pit stop. And then he tried, I think, to get fastest lap, which he didn't get because he's in a Williams. But yeah, it's not a good look.
All of which brings us to the standings with Terry Saunders.
So we've got some film-based standings, films with numbers, always a classic. So 10-second penalty with Dudley Moore and Bo Derek. It's Lewis Hamilton in number one. 20 feet from stardom, that's Valtteri Bottas, fuck you. The third man is Max Verstappen, always used to being there. Three men and a baby, that's Lando Norris. 28 days later than Max Verstappen, he crosses the line, that's Alexander Albon. One flew over the cuckoo's nest because he's a bit mad, it's Ricardo. The Three Stooges describing Ferrari, that's Charles Leclerc. Two for the money is Lance Stroll. 9 to 5 is Sergio Perez because he'll be going back to office work next year. One fine day is Pierre Gasly thinking about Monza. Sixth Sense is Carlos Sainz because he just knew there'd be a wall there. Three Men and Little Lady is Esteban Ocon. A 40-year-old version is Sebastian Vettel. It's just funny. Five Children It, Daniel Kvyat. 7 Year Itch is Nico Hülkenberg. One of our dinosaurs is missing is Kimi Raikkonen. And 42nd Street for a bit of pizzazz is Giovinazzi.
And I've heard of the first three films of that list.
Okay, The Third Man is a classic.
Never. Is it a Hitchcock film?
It's black and white, though. 10 with Dudley Moore and Bo Derek.
Never heard of it.
Never seen it, but you know, it used to be in the video shop when I was a kid. 20 Feet from Stardom, never heard of it. Okay, and then it was a presidential debate last night, and I wrote this with exactly 3 minutes to spare. So, if the teams were presidents, which presidents would they be? So, Mercedes is Clinton. You know, no real dramas apart from that one, but a little bit sexy. Bush Senior is Red Bull because they were good a few years ago, but war crimes. Obama is McLaren. Oh, actually, Trump should be McLaren because they're orange. Oh, God. Nixon is Racing Point because they cheat. Lincoln is Renault because they emancipated slaves. I don't know. Trump is Ferrari because Bush Jr. is AlphaTauri because Bush was Red Bull. That's the only joke there. Carter is Alfa Romeo. I don't even know anything about Carter. One of those you never heard of is Haas. And JFK is Williams because we think they're cool, but they're also dead.
Wow.
And now for the man of the match of driving. Perez.
Sergio Perez.
And now it's time for the State of F1 with Terry Saunders.
Okay, look, we all love a conspiracy theory, but Lewis Hamilton getting a 10-second penalty and finish on the podium is hardly jet fuel cannot melt steel beams or paedophiles in tunnels under London, is it? Oh my God, it's not paedophiles in tunnels, is it? That would be quite good, probably. It's the kids. But there is a reason for the FIA wanting to handicap Hamilton. It's boring having Mercedes win all the time, but it's also not their fault that they're so good. This is why the FIA aren't trying to stop them winning, but more just really piss them off in the process. Let's face it, Hamilton could come down with the coronavirus and still win this year, so unless Formula 1 actually outright bans him, then we're in for a long winter. But getting him on start infringements and red lights at pit lanes is a bit boring in itself. But don't worry, I have a solution. Come on, FIA, if you're going to try and lose Hamilton the championship, do it with a bit of style. I propose recreating the plot of Trading Places. A $1 bet between Chase Carey and Ross Brawn to see if one can turn a 6-time world champion into a rich kid who doesn't have to work for anything ever, and in return, can you make Lance Stroll a 6-time world champion? Plant some PCP on Hamilton during the driver briefing, then have Frank Oz playing James Allen demand he empty his pockets during the live press conference. Do you know what this stuff does to kids? Meanwhile, show Lance Stroll what a jacuzzi is, and pay Jamie Lee Curtis to get her norks out. Yeah, that'll do it.
I should really watch Trading Places, because none of that meant anything to me, but yeah, why not?
Have you never seen Trading Places?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, for fuck's
It sounded
sake,
like God. The plot to My Fair Lady, which it's maybe says more best, about my upbringing than...
It's the best film that's ever existed. Chica, have you seen Trading Places?
No, so that was over my head as well.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Right. Your homework is to watch Trading Places by the next race.
I haven't watched a film in about 8 months.
Well, there you go. This is the perfect one to watch, because honestly, it's Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. It's fucking brilliant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I like Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd.
There you go. But it's one of the best films ever made.
We should do a film podcast.
Does that
what
film exist, Terry? Fucking film.
That was the state of F1 brought to you this season by Carfection. And Terry, be honest, is there going to be a new video?
Look, the video is ready, except for a few bits of B-roll, but the other guy's out of the country. So it's not my fault. I've done my bits. And it's a good one. It would have been very apt for this week. There's lots of footage of me just running into beehives. And they said at the time, they went, our audience aren't going to go for this. And I was like, I'm a visionary.
A veganary.
Oh, shit, honey's not vegan, is it?
No.
Well, I believe there's some debate in the vegan community. But no, strictly speaking, no, it's not.
What if the bees want to give it to you?
No, can't take presents.
Do you know what I've realised? That vegetarianism is quite easy. Turns out I don't miss meat that much. But cheese and yoghurt and honey and eggs.
Veganism's hard.
Fucking eggs. I love eggs.
Yeah. Also, leather's really good for shoes and jackets and trousers. Mm.
This is still the advert, by the way.
If there's one thing I know about Carfection, is there's a lot of vegan content.
So you can find the state of F1 right now at youtube.com/Carfection and stick around to discover the best looking car content anywhere online. That is youtube.com/Carfection now. That is it from us. It's goodbye to Phil Tromans.
We haven't had time to talk about Autosport, who've somehow managed to get the words bum and fanny on their front page, which I think is quite impressive.
And to Terry Saunders.
We haven't had time to talk about Bottas saw a massive bee. And that's why he was really good or bad. Can't remember. Bye.
We'll be back in 2 weeks to discuss the Eiffel Grand Prix in Eiffel. In the meantime, check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/forF1sake, and follow us on Twitter @forF1sake. Terry, where can people buy merch?
Hang on, what's the fucking Eiffel Grand Prix?
It's the Eiffel Grand Prix. It's the next Grand Prix. Eiffel.
What, the Eiffel Tower?
No, it's the Eiffel Grand Prix, you know, in Eiffel.
That's German just going to piss.
The Formula One, Aramco, Grosse Prize, der Eiffel.
It's going to piss off a lot of people who are going to turn on thinking it's going to be the Eiffel Tower Grand Prix, with the cars going up the tower in the lift and coming back down. Anyway, if you want to buy something, it's ff1s.com/shop.
Thanks for listening. See you in 2 weeks. I've been G. Gress. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.